Okay, another one is the prodigal son is an interesting one. I think everybody knows the story of the prodigal son. Man had two sons, and one son was a little restless, and he wanted to get his inheritance early. So he hit up his dad and says, "Dad, I want to have my inheritance early and go have a good time." And the son, father was reluctant to give it to him, but the son, like the woman, persisted, kept asking, and so the father gave in and says, "Okay, here's your inheritance. Make good use of it." So the son took the inheritance, and he went and started gambling, chasing wild women, drinking a lot, having a good time, enjoying the carnal life, until he wasted all his money. He wasted all his money and didn't have any money anymore, so he went and worked for this hog farm, and he was feeding the hogs, and he made such little money that he had to eat some of the same food that they fed to the hogs in order to survive. That's how low he was. And as he was down there eating with the hogs, he thought to himself, "You know, even the servants in my father's home have it a lot better than I do now. I know what I'll do. I'll rise up and I'll return to my father and I will say, 'Father, I don't deserve to be a son, but I would like to be your servant and serve you again.'" And so he got up and headed toward his father's home. And the parable says that the father was at the edge of his property, and he was actually hoping that his son would come back. And he said, the parable says that the father spotted the son returning a long way off. In other words, the father was there looking on the horizon, probably dreaming and wishing his son would return, hoping he was all right. And then on the horizon, a long way off, he spotted him coming back. And when his son returned, he welcomed him with open arms. And the son says, "Well, Father, I don't deserve to be your son, but I just want to be your servant." And the father says, "Nonsense, son. You are my son. You've always been my son." And so he put a special robe around him. The father brought him back, reinstalled him as his full son, and killed the fatted calf, and they had a great feast to celebrate the return of the prodigal son. Now the son who stayed behind came and said to the father, he saw the big party they were having for the returned son, and he felt kind of left out. He says, "Father, have I not obeyed your every word? Have I not stayed here by your side and performed all my duties? And yet, you never killed the fatted calf for me. You never had a big party for me. But you're having a great big party for this wayward kid, that son that squandered his inheritance." And the father says, "Don't worry, son." He says, "All that I have is yours. But our son was lost, and now he is found. He is returned. So let us celebrate. He is still my son, and he's still your brother." Okay, that's an interesting story. What do you suppose is the meaning of this story? Jesus explained the meaning of one or two parables, but a lot of them he didn't explain the meaning of. The surface meaning on this is pretty obvious. But what is maybe a little bit deeper than normal meaning? Yeah, Adam.
It's our journey, it's our experience. You're in the sword, you're in the world, separate. Reclaiming our natural state, rediscovering who we are.
How do they get so tangled up?
Okay, so who's the true prodigal son?
All of us.
Right. All of us are prodigal sons. Why are we prodigal sons? We've taken our inheritance, and where have we gone with it?
Out into the world, out into the world of experience, the universe.
Right. So we've left the Father's home, haven't we?
We left the monad and ventured out for experience.
Right. We ventured out to experience, and we've squandered a lot of our wealth. What is our wealth? What have we squandered?
The connection to who we really are, our connection to our soul.
Okay,
our true
done
essence.
That. Right.
So when we first started incarnate, when we left the Father's home, you know, the Father is completely out of our mind because we have this, what we think our inheritance, which is this world. And we think this world is kind of an interesting place to be, so we attach ourselves to this world, don't we? And for many lifetime after lifetime, we squander our inheritance here. And finally, what is the symbolism of eating the hog's food to the point that you feel anything would be better than this? When is that point reached, do you think?
Spiritual emptiness.
Right.
Reached your lowest point of being, and you've got nothing to look forward to.
So yeah, it's not squandering the inheritance in the normal sense, but it's the fact that after life of just making the best of this earth life, we eventually realize, especially once we get a little bit of soul contact, we come to a great realization. We reach a dead end where nothing satisfies us anymore. And we realize that the food of this planet is like eating with the hogs. And the food isn't very good. It used to seem really good, but the longer we're here, the less we're satisfied with the things of this world. And eventually we reach a period of disgust to the point to where we eventually say what? Like the prodigal son. What do we eventually come to?
I'll be your servant.
What?
I'll be your servant instead of your son.
Right.
Because you treat the servants better than what I've had.
Right. We think just being a servant in the kingdom of God would be a lot better than, just repeating the same things life after life. Mm-hmm. Coming down here. It's fun for a while, but now I'm getting bored and I'm looking for something higher. And so I feel it's time for me to work on returning to my Father's home. And when we decide to return, when we decide we want to return, who's looking for us?
Yes.
Right. In other words, it's our soul. Our soul is in meditation deep, waiting for us to wake up. And when we wake up, our soul starts paying attention to us. And it sees us a long way off. And it watches as we journey. It spots us a long way off, it says. So our soul spots us a long way off. It says, well, he's still got a long way to go, but we've made a little bit of connection. I can see him having an interest in coming to me. And I'm going to give him the guidance he needs to return to my presence. And eventually, we return to the soul, and when we return to the soul, it's like we've never left. It's like we've returned home.
There's no judgment either. There's no...
Right.
And
what's interesting about it, how many people here feel that they've had a strong spiritual experience? Okay. How many here feel that spiritual experience was very familiar, right? Even if it's your first spiritual experience, it seems familiar. It seems like you've had it before. It's not like foreign. But a spiritual experience, when you have it, it's like coming home. It's like, this is familiar. And that's why you trust the inner voice, because it's familiar. You've heard it before somewhere. Even though you've never experienced in this life, the first time you experience in this life isn't like the first time. It's like it's happened before. It's like this is where you belong. And it's an amazing thing to contemplate. Okay, any more questions?
Well, I just like the part where the Father was looking in the distance for his son. Is that not energy following thought? That even the Father follows the rules of the universe, that he put his focused attention
right.
upon his son.
Right, he's waiting. He's waiting for you to come back.
And
yeah, and he's sending out energy.
Yeah.
And then when you send out energy at the same time because you want to come back, then there's a meeting of energy. That's a good point. Okay?
And that, to me, that the church did a modern version of that in a video. And I always used to look at the brother
as to me the lesson that I think we needed to learn from, because it's almost like that the brother had an ego about the fact that, you know, I'm always here.
Yeah.
And I always looked at the prodigal son as having actually gone further than his brother because of his journey.
Right. So he probably did,
yeah,
in a lot
and,
of ways.
And
he learned a lot that the brother didn't learn. The brother just stayed there and played it safe.
And I related to the parable of the laborers, because it's not about, you know, just you're constantly on. The path is about leaving it and coming back and learning and stuff. You know, the laborers were all paid for the same amount, and the ones that worked the whole day thought, you know, I deserve more. So it's always, I think it's often about lessening ego.
Yeah.
Is why are you doing it? You know,
right.
You know,
right.
That brother had a desire and he wanted to go and see the world.
Yeah.
And no one can take away the experiences of the loose woman and the alcohol.
You know, when you have an experience, even though it's really tough, no matter how tough the experience is, would you ever give it back again? No. That experience is really valuable. And the more painful it is, the less likely you would be willing to give it up. But on the other hand, you're not asking for it again. I think in my most painful experiences, you know, I wouldn't give up for anything what I learned from them. But God, you don't need to send me more right now. Just give me a little rest. But it's interesting how we feel, react to them, that they're a part of us, even though they were painful. But they were great learning experiences. And they're very, very valuable to us. So the prodigal son, even though he made a lot of mistakes, his experiences were invaluable to him.
Do we know who the brother was?
In the parable.
Well, according to the ancient teachings, there were a third that refused to incarnate in the beginning. There were 90 billion human monads created, and 60 billion volunteered to come to the earth, and 30 billion refused. They wanted to stay with God. And so the interesting part about this teaching is that the ones that made the mistake were the ones that refused to go out. In other words, the ones that refused to be the prodigal sons were had their progression hindered, whereas those who went and became prodigal sons had the tremendous advantage because they had all this experience that the ones that stayed safe in the father's bosom didn't get. So I find that interesting twist on the story of the prodigal son. So according to this, us being the prodigal sons have a tremendous advantage over the monads that stayed in the father's presence and didn't venture out. But they will get their own chance to become prodigal sons one day. Okay, any more questions before we wrap it up?
If we're done with this, did we ever get to where it was in the first place? I mean,
what?
Well, you said that the key, the principle.
Is the law of correspondence, but it's as above, so below, but with a twist.
Okay,
right. And with a twist is the true essence of it. In other words, the story of the prodigal son isn't exactly the way it really happened, but it's the story told so that we can, you know, get the general idea. But the way it really happened was the prodigal son was the one that was the truly obedient one. He went out into the world to manifest the life of God on the lower planes. Okay? So as above, so below, but not exactly, but with a twist, because God does all things new. He's an enterprising God that likes to not do the same thing over and over. Yet the Christian world wants to condemn God to a being that's just doing the same thing over and over for eternity, which if a person really did that, he would cease to exist after a period of time. Yeah.
It reminds me of the apples of disparities to labor of Hercules, where he's sent out to go retrieve the apples, but and he's told how to retrieve them, but he keeps ignoring the advice and figures out how to do it on his own. And in doing so, by doing it on his own and figuring it out in a new way, he actually fulfills the labor.
Yeah, the labor of Hercules, really great teaching stories there. Well, you've been a great audience, and we'll look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
Thank you very much. If anybody wants to go on the green belt tomorrow...